putting a face on grace, giving grace to our parents. If you've been here for the last two Sundays, you know that I have preached on the two topics, bringing grace into our marriages and bringing grace to our children. I've tried to stress during those two sermons how important it is that we be conduits of God's grace. In fact, I've stressed that throughout this sermon, this series, that we are, if we are believers in Christ, authentic believers in Christ, we are to be conduits of the grace of God. And it must start in our homes. Because if it doesn't start in the home, it means nothing anywhere else. I mean, that's just the reality. It's true. The home, as I have stressed over these past few weeks, is one of two institutions God Himself has ordained. There's only two known to man. And that's amazing if you think about it. Think of all the institutions that exist on earth today. Think of all the institutions. There are only two that are ordained by God. The others are all man-made. The home and the church. The home and the church. So can there be any more important two institutions on the planet for the believer in Christ than for the home or the church? And the answer is absolutely not. It's ridiculous to give any other answer. And so, if we're going to be people of grace, to be conduits of the grace of God, then that flow of grace into me and outwardly from me must begin in my home. And the same must be said for you. Otherwise, it's very empty indeed. And we've not done that perfectly. None of us have. But it's a beautiful day. It is an absolutely gorgeous day. The sun's shining. It's brisk. It reminds me, it screams to me that my God lives and my God is reigning. And because of that, there's hope. We can begin today if we have been failing in our yesterdays to bring grace into our homes, into our marriages, to our children, and now to our parents. I realize that it is true that not all who are here today are married. So you can't bring grace into a marriage today because you're not married. I also recognize that not all who are in this room have children. And therefore, today you cannot bring grace to your children. But everyone in this room has had to learn how to relate to their parents. Everyone has had to learn how to relate to their parents. Therefore, this sermon of the three touches every life in this room. And to those of us who still have parents living today, let me say this. Giving grace to our parents is one of God's great desires for us. And my personal situation is that my dad is still living, and it just so happens he came down to visit with me, my family, this weekend. And because he still lives, I have the great opportunity and the high privilege of giving grace to him. And some of you in this room, many of you, I hope, in this room, share this same situation that I am in. You still have at least one of your parents with you. If If you are like me, or if you are in my specific situation, no doubt you can look back and you can say that you really do long. A part of you longs to have one more opportunity to show grace to that father or mother you've lost. Because you can't do it now. You can't redo that. That's water under the bridge. Those days are gone. They will never be repeated. You will never again have the opportunity to show that mother or father whom you have lost more grace, additional grace. But here is the good news. Though we can't go back, though we can't have a do-over in this life, the good news is that God doesn't expect us to. That's the good news. God knows that we are finite creatures. God knows that we live in space and in time. God knows that we are very bound. We are indeed weak creatures. Very weak. We often underestimate our limitations. But we are extremely limited. God does not expect us to change the past. But His grace is sufficient for us to make a difference in our parents' lives today if our parent, at least one of them, is still living. And if your parents are gone, if both of your parents are gone, take comfort in knowing that God knows and God does not expect you to be able to do what you are unable to do today. So let's talk for a few moments about relating to our parents. We all go through phases in life, different phases in life. In fact, many of us in this room today are in various phases. We're in different phases. We go from infant to child to adolescent to adult. And some have said back to child. But this much we know. Life has borne it out. As an adult, I have been an infant. As an adult, I have been a child. As an adult, I have been an adolescent. And now I'm an adult. Those are the phases of life that we all go through if we live. My experience has been that relating to my parents took on different shapes and meaning as I progressed through those different phases of life. And this has been true for you. If you are my age, an adult. Others of you right now are either a child, you're either a child, or you're an adolescent, or you are very early into your adulthood. In the midst of this progression of life of which I'm speaking, my hope is that you will listen to me today. Listen to someone who has been where you are. Listen to others in this room who have been where you now are. I've been around the block a few times. Been there, done that. Made those mistakes. Did things right. Did things wrong. There is one thing that I know to be true, and this is an absolute truth. And that is God's Word. I know God's Word is true. Do you know that? Do you have confidence in God's holy Word being absolutely, utterly true, without error? In His Word, He provides us with clear instruction so that we can relate to our parents in a way that honors Him, God, and blesses them, our parents. So I want us to look at a couple of passages this morning that speak directly to this subject of relating to our parents. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Let's read that together again. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I heard Tony Evans preaching on the radio one time. And he was preaching on this subject of honoring your parents. He was preaching through the 10 moral commandments, and he happened to be on this one. And he made the statement during the sermon that he had preached on that passage before, and at the end of the sermon, one of the ladies of the church came by and said, "You know, that commandment is true. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long upon the land, because I always told my kids, if you don't honor me, you won't be here long." Well, the audience exploded in laughter. But that, we know that's not what this command of God means, parents taking those matters into their own hands. The weight of this command is seen in part by the fact, first of all, that it is one of the 10 moral commandments given by God to the newly birthed Hebrew nation at Mount Sinai. Don't underestimate the weight of this command based upon that alone. Remember, we have somewhere around 2 million, give or take 100,000 or so, 2 million Hebrews who as a people have been in bondage to Egypt, in Egypt, for 400 years. 400 years. Not one word from God. Not one. 10 generations of Hebrews have been born, lived under awful tyranny, and died. 10 generations, not one word from God. The United States of America has been around less than 300 years total. 400 years. Not one word. And then God sends Moses, the great deliverer, a type of Christ, foreshadowing the real deliverance which was to come many years later. He leads them through a miraculous escape in the Red Sea, brings them out on the other side, leads them for a couple of days' journey into the desert. They come to Mount Sinai, and there God plants them. And it is there, on that mount, that God speaks to the Hebrew people and gives them the law, so that they would know as a nation how it is they are to conduct themselves, how they are to live, how they are to govern themselves as a people falling under the umbrella as the people of God. So think of it in that light. The weight of this command, honor your father and your mother. There are only 10 moral commands, and this is one of them. We also find the weight of this command. We understand its importance in part by how many times it is referenced in the New Testament. That's very important. For example, Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. Matthew chapter 19, verse 19. Mark chapter 7, verse 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 18, verse 20. In all three of the synoptic gospels, this command is referenced. And then the Apostle Paul references it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. In fact,
in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul reminds us that this is the first commandment with a promise. That gives it extra weight, additional importance. The first command with a promise. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Well, what this means is that while honor and submission to our parents should first of all be for the Lord's glory, He has graciously added the promise of special blessing to those who obey this command. That's what it means when Paul says this is the first commandment of God with a promise attached to it. Don't underestimate the grave importance of being the first commandment of God with a conditional promise. So honoring our parents, submitting to our parents should first of all be for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's glory. That's number one. But the gracious promise of God that is attached to it is that He has special blessing in store for all who obey this command. So then what is the clear command of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12? Honor your father and your mother. You see, that's the command. Honor your father and your mother. But what does that mean? Well, the key to the command is the word honor. Honor. We use that word. It's often used in militarily. A soldier fought with honor. Soldiers who fight with honor, with valor, are awarded medals of valor. Courage, honor. The Silver Cross. On and on. Those medals that aren't just freely given. But outside of that, we don't really use the word unless we're using it in an academic setting. Well, my child made the honor roll. And that's wonderful. But the word honor here in Exodus, we have to remember, translated honor in English is a Hebrew word spoken, Aramaic, spoken by God to the Hebrew people. And so we have to understand the shade of the meaning of that word in its original setting. And the word, more than anything else, has to do with attitude. Attitude. The word does not minimize one's actions. You can't honor a person if your actions are wrong. Am I right? Will you agree with me on that? But the word speaks primarily of our attitude toward our parents as opposed to our actions. What God is saying to us in Exodus here is that we are to constantly evaluate our attitude towards our parents, since it is our attitude that motivates or fuels our actions. You can take it to the bank. You got a bad attitude? You're going to have wrong actions. And if somehow you or I can drum up enough, put on a happy face, put on a straight face, and do the right thing, even though we're mad as a hornet, even though we don't want to do it, even though our lips are sealed and our teeth are clenched, there's no honoring God in that. God is not honored when I do the right thing but have a wrong heart. There's no honor in that. There's no glory in that for God. Do you see what I'm saying? God is all about the heart. It starts with the heart with God. We are to constantly evaluate our attitudes towards our parents, since our attitudes are the motivation. They are the fuel for our actions. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, Paul writes, and he references this verse. Let's read it together. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You see Paul expounding upon Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 here. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So let's just talk about that for a moment. It is right in the sight of God for us to give honor to our parents, for us to bring grace to our parents. It's right in the eyes of God. Which means it is wrong in the eyes of God not to bring grace to our parents, not to honor our parents, not to have a right attitude toward our parents, in order that our actions toward our parents will be fueled by a right heart. Honor your parents, children, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. That ought to be a pretty good motivation right there. Because we like for things to be well for us. Right, Mark? Mark talked a little bit about we like us. You know the old saying where you say, I love my mama's baby boy. Speaking of oneself, and you're the only boy in the family. We like for things to be well with us. So, selfishly, that ought to be a little motivation. But the greater motivation is that it's right in the sight of God. That's what's glorifying to God. That's what's pleasing to God, is to do it because it's right. To evaluate our attitudes, to make sure that our attitudes are correct. Here's my point. The 10 moral commands have two parts. You have the letter and you have the spirit of the law. The letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And by the way, the Hebrews became very, very good at nitpicking the spirit of the law, the letter of the law. For example, one of the 10 moral commandments says you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's donkey or anything that is your neighbor. And from that flows, thou shalt not commit, you shall not commit adultery. That's the letter of the law. Right? You don't take anything that belongs to your neighbor. And there's a difference between that and in lusting. Because you see, the spirit of that law is not to lust. Because if you don't lust, you won't commit adultery. And so we're right back to the attitude. We're right back to the heart. Because if we don't constantly evaluate our hearts, our actions will soon follow, and they always follow in the wrong direction. Right? Doesn't the Word of God say of the human heart that no man can know the human heart? Only God can know the heart. Only God can search the heart. It's deceptively wicked, the human heart. Thou shalt not commit murder is one of the 10 moral commandments. Well, we know from Jesus' teaching that the real issue is hate. Because if we never hated, we would never murder. If we never lusted, if we never coveted, we would never murder. We would never commit adultery. So the issue for the Christian is the heart. That's not to minimize the letter of the law. Honor your father and your mother. Listen, it doesn't get any plainer than that. It is what it is. It's right to do it. God commanded it. Amen. But we have to look at our hearts. Because that word honor is more about the attitude. And that's why we should abhor hating other people. That's why we as Christians should abhor coveting what others have. Because we know that if we're doing those things, our heart is not where it needs to be with God. It's not honoring to God. If we're always angry, we're not joyful. You can't be full of anger and full of joy in the Lord at the same time. I'll guarantee you that, because I've been there and done that. Can't be. It all comes down to the condition of the heart. And so we have to guard and protect our hearts diligently. Well, I know that when you begin to talk about things like this, there are always objections to arise in the human mind. So I've got a little sub-point in the sermon here, and I've entitled it, May I Object, Please? Well, first, let me answer that question. No, you may not. But here are a few objections that arise, I'm certain, in the minds of some people. I hope not you, but perhaps someone who will hear this sermon on sermonaudio.com. But what if my parents aren't honorable? Listen, the command doesn't have anything to do with your parents. There's my answer to your objection. Well, what if my parents aren't deserving of honor? What if they're not honorable? Well, listen, the command's not to your parent. The command's to you. Honor your father and your mother. Period. Paragraph. Command has nothing to do with your mom and your daddy. It has everything to do with you and me. But my parents don't deserve grace from me. As if you deserve grace from God. How stupid. Well, my parents have hurt me or betrayed me. But my parents have become more and more childish about everything as they've gotten older. They drive me nuts. So, you know, kind of what's good for the goose is good for the gander. How many of you know that saying, you old farm boys? Come on, give me a hand. How many times have we hurt our parents? How many times have we hurt our parents? How many times have we disappointed our parents? How many gray hairs did we give our parents? How many times were we disrespectful to our parents? How many times were our actions childish? So then what's the difference? Are we saying that they've got to put up with all of our nonsense, all of our stupidity, all of our youthful foolishness, all of our bad attitude, because we're exempt? We can act how we want to act, and we can treat them how we want to treat them. We deserve good things, but our parents don't deserve good things from us. In spite of our foolishness, is it not true that most of us in this room, if not all of us in this room, can say, in spite of us, our parents continued to sacrifice for us? They continued to provide our needs? And they continued to love us when we were unlovable? You see, it is not wise to dwell on the ways in which our parents have failed us when they've proven over and over and over again to us how much they love us. Listen, let's lay some groundwork here. There's no perfect parent. My parents weren't perfect. But I've been a parent a good while now, and I can assure you I'm not a perfect parent either, Amber. Be quiet. Your parents weren't perfect, but I'll assure you, you're not perfect parents either. And what's even more important is that the Word of God does not qualify which parents are deserving of honor. Honor your parents, honor your father, honor your mother in the Lord, for this is right. So our heart, according to God, is to be right toward our parents at all times. Whether you're a child or an adolescent or an adult, your attitude, my attitude towards our parents is to be right at all times. We live in a society, quite frankly, in which the elderly appear by many to be valued less and less. But that's not always been the case. That's not always been the case. In my lifetime, the elderly were revered. The elderly were looked up to. The elderly were respected. The elderly were held in the highest of esteem. And the sacrifices of the elderly were honored. I remember in my own childhood, the worst thing that could happen to you. Well, as I think about on my childhood, there were a lot of reasons I could get in bad trouble. But one of the undeniable, unmistakable reasons that I could get into big trouble was to say yeah or no to an adult. You talk about getting you some pomegranate switch on a hide. It was not tolerated. You just did not speak to another adult with a yeah or a no. When an adult spoke, you answered them. You didn't ignore them. When it was time for dinner on the grounds, you know who went to the front of the line? The oldest people in the congregation got there first, and everybody else stayed out of the way. You'd see no youngins running around getting in front of adults. The older people were revered. Their age meant something. And it's an absolute disgrace that our society has lost that. It's just an utter disgrace. It is the epitome of selfishness not to revere the aged. And I'm not saying you're that way. But I see it happening in our society. We should value the elderly. And you know, as our parents get older, they don't deserve less grace. They deserve more grace. The world around us may have lost their sense of decency, but let it not be said of Christians that we will not give grace to our parents. We want to be different from the world, amen. We want to look different. We want this community. We want our workplaces, wherever we are, wherever those of us who are a part of Centerpoint are, we want everybody we're around to know that there's something different about us. There's something really different. Because if they see something different about us in action and in attitude, they will begin to ask us for a reason, the reason for the hope that we have in us. They're going to ask questions. They're going to start probing. At first, maybe a little, hey, you just seem to be different. You seem to be happy. You know, what's the deal? I mean, you go to church somewhere? Because ultimately, it's all for God's glory. That's first and foremost. Well, one of the ways we can stand out in this society is to bring grace into our marriages, bring grace to our children, and bring grace to our parents. Let me just add very quickly that I'm not minimizing the fact that some parents have inflicted great pain on their children. There are some people who just quite frankly don't deserve to be parents. Just absolutely do not deserve to be parents. I understand that. I'm so thankful that that's not the home I grew up in. But I know some people did. And I know some people carry the deep scars and wounds of terrible abuse. I understand that. And I'm not minimizing that. But this is what I know to be true. If you are here and you are one of those who were terribly hurt by your parents, if you're in Christ, you can still choose to give grace. You see what I'm saying? If you're married and you have children, you can break the cycle. You can do things a lot differently from the way your parents did things. You don't have to keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over, because in Christ, you are a new creature. You can do for your kids what your parents didn't do for you. And you can show your parents grace in spite of what they did for you. Because Christ enables us to do all things, even the hard things. I'm going to go so far as to make this statement. I think a person who grew up in a very dysfunctional home, who were not, quite frankly, shown love by their parents, who suffered tremendous abuse at the hands of their parents, whose needs were not met, who never really felt loved. I'm talking about an awful home situation, and people have grown up in those. You take a person who came out of a home like that, if they're in Christ, I think they have a greater opportunity to show the power of God in their life than I do. Because you see, I didn't have to come out of that. You see what I'm saying? The darker the home you come out of, the greater opportunity you have to show great light, the light of Christ, I think, than a person who came out of the most loving, nurturing home you could imagine. And I would hope that that's how Christian people who have been in those homes would view that. And the last point today is this: because we are forgiven. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 read as follows. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Put on tender mercies. That means hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So can I ask every believer a question this morning? How much has the Lord forgiven you for? How much has the Lord forgiven you for? Contemplate that. Because if we can answer this question, we will know to what degree we are bound by Him to forgive others. And that includes our parents, if need be. You see, Paul, in writing to the church at Colossae, is summing himself up there in what he has previously said. And he says, therefore, in other words, based upon what God has done for you through Christ, as the elect of God, as those who have been loved by God with an everlasting love, holy and beloved, put on hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Not should. Must do. So, how do we conclude? Listen, grace is not blind to the shortcomings of other people. As a husband, the grace that I bring into my marriage is not blind to my wife's weaknesses. But I hasten to add that the grace she brings into the marriage for me is not blind to my weaknesses either. As we bring grace to our daughter, we're not blind to her weaknesses. And as I bring grace to my dad, I'm not blind to his weaknesses as a man. Grace is not blind. But you know what? If we want to find fault, let's just go to the mirror. Let's just roll on to the... In fact, there's a good one right here. Let me move this plant. Let's all gander into this mirror right here. And we'll all have enough to work on without having to worry about working on somebody else. Amen? Amen. So, how can you extend grace to your parent or parents today if they're still living? Well, figure out a way to do it and go do it today. Give grace to your parents. The fact of the matter is they do deserve it. And it's pleasing to God that we do so. And if your parents aren't living today, God doesn't expect you to do what you can't do. Use your energies to bring grace to your spouse, into your marriage, to bring grace to your children, and to bring grace to others. Expend your energies doing that. And I am especially now closing with a comment to the young people. If you're in this room with both of your parents, you have no earthly idea at this stage in your life, most likely, how blessed you are. It is very, very difficult to have that wisdom when you're very, very young. Because when you're very, very young, you tend to think that your parents will be there forever. Death and separation is just something that young people don't think about. I remember that time in my life when that's the last thing I thought of. I thought we were all going to live forever. Thought mom and dad would be here forever. Thought I'd be here forever. But I've come to realize, living life, that's just not true. And so if both of your parents are in this room today, you are a very blessed person. If one of your parents is in this room today, you're a very blessed person. Start today working on your heart, examining frequently the attitude of your heart towards your parent or parents. You will never, ever regret bringing grace to your parents. You'll never regret it. It'll always be a blessing to your heart and soul that you did that. Let's pray while Ty comes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful that you have placed the family and the church in the earth. Father, here at Center Point, bless us to be a people who are focused very, very strongly upon the great grace of God, being conduits of that grace, and bringing grace into our marriages, to our children, and to our parents. And then, of course, Lord, to one another and to those in our workplaces, to those we meet on the streets. Lord, help us. Grant, O God, that your Spirit would work in us so mightily that we would truly be able to be called people of grace. Help us to do that, Lord, for your glory and for the good of those we love. In the name of Jesus, amen.